Welcome back to The Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, my next guest is one of the greats. Photographer Art Shea may not have been born here, but he's true blue Chicago. The photojournalist has been snapping away, bringing us amazing stories through his photographs, whether it's working alongside Nelson Algren or capturing iconic photos of Elizabeth Taylor or Muhammad Ali, or documenting life in Chicago's ghettos and drug dens. Art has been giving us a bird's eye view of what makes this city tick for years. The photographer, author, and filmmaker is still working, getting ready to release a movie about his work, his life. Not bad for a man who just turned 95 years old. Art Shea is going to be part of a new exhibit at the Gallery Victor Armendariz. It's a paparazzi. It's opening May 5th. The gallery is at 300 West Superior Street. And he has also just announced the 2017 recipient of the Distinguished Lucy Award for Lifetime Achievement in Photography. It is my pleasure to welcome photographer, living legend, my friend Art Shea. Art, how are you?
Well, I'm fine. I don't know if I can live up to your introduction, but I'll try.
What does it mean for you to get the Lucy Award?
Well, it means lifetime I've spent in the trenches has been rewarded with a good conduct medal. It's apparently a good deal. As I tell my friends, the first guy to receive it was Henri Cartier-Bresson, who was one of the satellites in the sky when I began taking pictures back in the 40s, actually. It means quite a bit to me to be recognized. It's very difficult to be recognized in Chicago as a national figure, as you probably know. The New York photographers get on Life magazine, they used to get the great assignments, and I would get the happenstance assignments, things like the 68 convention and things that...
Happenstance for a minute, but then the whole world is watching, right?
Or as I've been quoted by a Lifehouse photographer who read it in a book someplace, I opined that a good photograph is a biography of the moment.
Your work, and you know, I've known you for a couple of years now and the books that you've done, but I mean, your work is primarily capturing people as themselves. I mean, you have a great quote that's about the idea, you don't want to take a photo of somebody of who they think they are, you want to take a photo of who they are. Talk about that.
It's very difficult with the camera as a mere instrument, or even as the pen, to characterize a person on a chance or first-time meeting.
Yeah.
One of my idols has always been a guy who hung around the French court system in the 1700s, Daumier. And he could, with two or three lines on his sketch pad, characterize the relationship between a contumacious lawyer and his downtrodden client from whom he was trying to extract a few francs. I don't think there's any great trick to it. It's the trick of observation. We all have an eye, and we use it in various ways. Mm-hmm. I think I'm lucky to have had the kind of eye that recognizes life as it really is, the kind of eye that Algren had, for example, my friend. We used to wander around the city, or we did for about 9 years, and I did a body of work on Algren, and I even did the famous nude picture of his girlfriend, yep, Simone de Beauvoir, for which I'm still either praised or pilloried, depending on your point of view. And the editors who interviewed me about that picture, for example, the New Yorker did a woefully inaccurate story, 3-page story on the picture, agreeing with me that she had a great body and was worthy of nude photography.
Oh, this photo is so iconic. This is the one where she's in the bathroom and she's looking in the mirror, and it's in an apartment, an old Chicago. This is the Chicago apartment,
yeah,
right?
It's almost a $10 a month apartment.
Yeah. I mean, it's such a striking photo that I can see crisp in my mind right now. Yeah. It's one of the most famous photos of all
actually,
time.
Actually, Sandro, who did this fine book with the actor Malkovich on various quintessential pictures of the last two decades, he set that whole scene up at his studio on Huron Street and did a very fine picture. Of course, Malkovich ain't no Simone, yeah. But he certainly has a much bigger rear end. And it was a lot of fun. I was starting to tell you that the only editors I had a problem with were the French editors of Paris Match and other French magazines. It made the cover of several magazines in Paris, and I had an exhibition there in 07, and my wife, who is since deceased, she thought it was really amazing. Mm-hmm. But the only thing the French editors were really persistent about on questioning was whether I had slept with her.
Really?
Well, I mean, after all, she was
naked,
the girlfriend of a best friend of mine, and who had helped arrange the picture, and I wouldn't have shown my appreciation in any way by doing such a terrible deed. I spoke around it, and I ended up quoting, of all people, Saint Augustine, as I often do.
Sure.
And he said, I'm ready for reform, but not just yet. Of course, he was talking to God. I don't know who I was talking to.
Aaron Shea is my guest, the longtime legendary photographer. You can play some of his book. His photography is in the Chicago Classic Photographs, the book that was put together, edited by Richard Cahan and Michael Williams. He's also the 2017 recipient of the Distinguished Lucy Award for Lifetime Achievement in Photography. And he's got a new exhibit, the Gallery Victor Armendariz, which is at 300 West Superior Street in Chicago. It's called Paparazzi. This is the exhibit. It's opening on Friday, and it features works by Arche, Patrick Burns, and Bruno Cerdo through May 26th. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk more with Arche in studio at the big table. Stay with us. Welcome back to Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Coffin. My guest in studio, the legendary photographer, Arche, of course, a tremendous photographer, award-winning photographer, who's an author, an artist, a filmmaker. He did so much great work here in Chicago alongside Nelson Algren.
The fact that I've had two plays produced.
Two plays, sorry, my bad.
and one was directed by Mike Nussbaum.
I mean, a true Renaissance man in studio tonight. He's got a new exhibit. It's called Paparazzi at Gallery Victor Armendariz in the Gold Coast 300.
There's two other artists who are paint artists.
Patrick Burns, Bruno Cerdo, through May 26th, Gallery Victor Armendariz is at 300 West Superior Street. Also, the Lucy Award, the recipient, the 2017 recipient for Lifetime Achievement. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Amazing. I mean, I look at your work, even some of the stuff that's in Michael and Rich's book, and you see, I'm looking at one now, which is a streetscape from the 40s. It says Southwest Side of Chicago. I mean, it's not only just being able to capture the moments of a time and place in history, but there's even artistic merit to the way it's exposed. I mean, the way that the photo's done and there's layers to it. I mean, it's way ahead of its time. Tell me about this. I mean, it's a great photo to see the actual street space.
Pictures. It looks as if it was shot with a super wide-angle camera, and it really wasn't. It was shot with a simple 2.25 Super Iconta B, which was known, for its, you had to be very lucky to get one with a good lens, which I was lucky to get. And it also had the odd quirk of getting 11 pictures on a roll, which I had forgotten, and I started to put the camera away with I thought it was a full roll, but I could see I had an extra picture.
And this is it?
A piece of film left. And in it, I was able to capture a scene in an alley in a reflection. I got two dummy brides, a very distinguished-looking Hispanic woman about 6-7 months pregnant.
Yep.
In the same picture, you can see a little old man and his little old lady doing something non-essential in the picture. Marcel happened to be in town. He was an old friend of mine, and he bought the picture out of my trunk of my car, and he said, I must have this picture because it means to me exactly how I think of the fate of women. So I was.
This was 1949, and it, I mean, was it shot to shoot it from the car? It looks like it's the car.
Yeah, it was shot from the car.
That's amazing. Southwest Side. You know, I'm amazed because a lot of your work, I mean, has really been, I mean, think of the profile stuff. I think of Muhammad Ali, a young Muhammad Ali, Elizabeth Taylor, as I said earlier. And then there's this moment in time that you do so well. This is a perfect example. 1949, just a nondescript day of a streetscape. And you're able to capture not just the people that are on the street, but the moment, the feeling. When you're looking at this through the car window in 1949, take us back to that. Are you seeing this to be more than just a streetscape? I mean, are you seeing it to be art?
It was a weekend morning, and Alwyn was in the seat beside me in the car, and I had to shoot around him. And he was a pretty good spotter, and he had a good eye. And we both saw the picture at the same time.
So you see the picture, and then you take it.
I think you see it first, John. If you're mindless and do it, then you're doing exactly what John Wayne does. That is, you're pointing the camera into infinity, and you're shooting it, and then the noise tells everybody what you've done. There's no such noise as a very small noise in photography. I've asked many home run hitters how they know they're hitting a home run, and one of them said, well, you really know the morning of the game that you're going to hit a home run. I said, well, how do you know that? He said, well, you feel it. I said, what do you mean you feel it? He said, well, you feel it in your arms, you feel it in your legs, you feel it in your torso. And hitting a home run is a job for your whole body and your mind. And the same with good photography.
So you feel it. You know there's something out there.
And I flew 53 missions as a combat tour, 30 of them in Jimmy Stewart's group. He was my colonel. And one day I came back from a bombing mission over Germany, and there at my air base were 200 planes circling around an invisible Bunsher beacon, which is a radio signal. I'm sorry to use a dirty word in your presence, but we used radio in those days to help our country along. And suddenly, two of the planes hit. Well, I usually flew with a camera around my neck, a Leica, and a colonel ran up to me and said, Lieutenant, that's restricted. You can't do that. What I was shooting was two planes that had just hit, and I was trying to get the mayhem in the sky. And I did succeed. It was a 500th at F8, I still remember. And I had 8 shots left on the roll. And while dodging this guy, I got all 8 frames used, and they ended up in Look magazine as my first published pictures. And I kept getting letters from parents asking if that was possibly their son in that picture.
Wow.
An impossible question to answer. But not only did I have the feeling that I was going to get a good picture, but I got the good picture. And my wife used to hate it when I would say at lectures to synagogues or churches or to prospective picture buyers, well, photographer, you do things like you get the peak of action and you get to sleep with Elizabeth Taylor. And she kept shaking her head, and I kept overriding her shake of the head, because she didn't like when I said anything that was off color, especially in public.
This is your wife, yeah.
And the question period was full of these nice old rich people waving their hands with questions. The basic question is they wanted to know the facts behind my sleeping with Elizabeth Taylor. So I told the truth and met Elizabeth Taylor. She was doing a chore for her late husband, Mike Todd. He had bought a silly thing called Smell-O-Vision, in which he piped olfactory senses into the theater. It was down at the Todd Theater.
Yeah.
And the movie was about it involved in Orange Grove. And sure enough, this
inventive guy in
the basement pumped up chemical orange blossoms through the... And anyway, my job for life was to do that story. And that story never ran in life, but it's currently running in some place in Australia. They ultimately bought the pictures.
Oh, interesting.
Anyway, 2 weeks after this event, there I was in L.A. on a plane coming back. I was coming back from a story, and suddenly out on the runway, there's two fire trucks and a siren and police cars. And the bottom line was it was Elizabeth Taylor, and they stopped the plane to let her get on. There was just one seat left. The seat was in my rear compartment and happened to be next to me. She said, "Hello, Art," and she clambered furs and perfume and those beautiful purple eyes, and she clambered over the seats and got into the empty seat next to me, and she said, "Look, I was at a party until 6 a.m. this morning, and I want to be inhospitable, but I don't want to talk, so let's just sleep together the way to Chicago," which gives you an idea of how I slept with Elizabeth Taylor.
Love it. Photographer Art Shea in studio tonight. The legendary photographer who just turned 95 years old. Happy birthday. I didn't get a chance to say happy birthday.
Thank you.
And he's celebrating by continuing to work. He's got an exhibit that's at Gallery Victor Armendariz, 300 West Superior Street. It's called Paparazzi. It's opening on Friday. 5 to 8 is the opening, and it's running through May 26th. He's also the 2017 recipient of the Distinguished Lucy Award for Lifetime Achievement in Photography. So much to talk about. We're going to take a break. We'll get tonight's news. We'll come back more with Art Shea at the big table here on The Download. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. In studio with me tonight, one of Chicago's best, Art Shea, the legendary photographer, award-winning photography, just got another one, the 2017 recipient of the Lucy Award for Lifetime Achievement in Photography. He's got a new exhibit, which is up at the Gallery Victor Armendariz, 300 West Superior Street, opening on Friday. It's running through May 26th. I mean, sometimes I don't even know where to start with you, Art, because you've got so many great stories and you've worked with so many great people. As you continue your career and you continue along, I mean, are you still actively looking for photos, seeing the world through your lens?
All the time I have this camera I carry with me, and
What kind of camera is it?
It happens to be a small Canon that does everything, and I like to carry a camera with me. It's sort of like a notebook, and I use it exactly as you would use a notebook, and it's my life, and I love it. And
I'm amazed, Art. I mean, even preparing for this, going through your photos, I mean, they are chapters and chapters and chapters of American history. It is constant. I mean, whether they're iconic photos. I mean, whether we're talking about the streetscapes of Chicago in 1949, or like I mentioned, a young Muhammad Ali backstage, before a fight or after a fight. I don't know where he's at, but you can just, that photo has been seen millions of times. And I think of all the other photography, this 1968 Democratic Convention in Chicago, the stuff with Nelson Algren, all of
one of those pictures of the hippies following a tank through the tear gas in Lincoln Park. Life magazine said this is a picture that's going to live for 100 years. And I was very proud of that.
When you were in the middle of these pictures, taking these photos, like you just mentioned, the one for 19, and getting assignments from Life magazine, and you mentioned earlier not being the New York photographer and having to sort of get the happenstance stuff in Chicago, when was it that you recognized in your career that you were being taken seriously, that you were going to be a part of history?
Well, I think it was after the 68 convention. Now my assistant, Erica here, who's indispensable to my work, and so she's gotten involved with University of Chicago Press, which is printing a 300-page, 1,000-picture book. I have 70 books that I've done, and a lot of sports books, kids' books. But this one will be out in about a year from now. It's an attempt to show all of the human rights pictures, assignments that I was on, all through Mayor Daley's reign. And
the old man, yeah, 60s, 70s.
The 60s, 80s, the 70s, right? Through Martin Luther King's life and death. I did the story of his death for Life magazine out in Memphis. And my assistant writer at the time, a reporter named Gary Wills, and I mean, he's still about what the best freelance writer on the planet. So I was very proud to have him do that. And he's spoken some words for my new movie.
When you put together that book for University of Chicago Press, and there's 1,000 photos, and you flip through it yourself, and you help edit and put it together, I mean, what do you want people to take away from it?
I want people to take away the idea that this is part of our life, and we're a stupid, opinionated, a violent crowd. I'm holding up my finger now where I got hit by a police baton. I was trying to get a picture of an 18-year-old girl who was beaten by a 230-pound cop, and he didn't like the fact that, I mean, he took his attention away from the girl, and he ended up on my finger. But so I have a souvenir of that, and I, you know, people don't understand those days on what happened in front of the Hilton. What happened in front of the Hilton was Jesse Jackson, for some reason, sent three cotton wagons with people down Michigan Avenue to duplicate the cotton farms he remembered from his boyhood. At any rate, we were all standing alongside the Hilton with all the beautiful jewelry shops and the ambiance of great wealth. And all of a sudden, here come these three wagons, and they were engaged by the hippies in the crowd. And all of a sudden, the cops appeared and began beating the hippies. And they would beat the hippies and drive us, I was amongst them, and drive us into the windows. At that point, the glass began to break, and at that point, the trouble erupted. And that's when it became what one of the papers or a study called a police riot occurred. And I have pictures of this horrible mess and pictures of these cops swinging their batons and drawing blood from foreheads
amazing,
of kids.
Amazing pictures. Yeah.
And it's really hard to believe.
When you're documenting current events and you document them and they become historical record, and in your case, that's happened thousands and thousands of times. Does a picture tell the whole story? Is the goal of an Art Shea photo to be able to capture a moment that will objectively tell the story of that piece of history?
I have one picture that sums up pretty much what the convention was about. Outside the Hilton side entrance, down Michigan Avenue, one street down from the main entrance, I noticed there were a bunch of soldiers, I mean National Guard soldiers, and they all had bayonets. And they were in the fixed position of ready to be used. And all of a sudden, two civilians are trying to get through the line. Well, the picture had no meaning except for one thing. There's a great big sign over the whole scene that said, "Welcome to Chicago." And this was clearly an opposite to the meaning of what was going on that I just shot it, and that's one of my most saleable pictures. My pictures are fortuitously going up in price, and I am in museums and the Art Institute, and I'm collectible, and I'm very proud of it.
And to get this distinguished award, a Lifetime Achievement Award, and we talked about the beginning, what it means, you know, I think about the power of photography, and we see it today in current events. We see it whether it be at a protest, or we see it with a child coming up to riot police. But we also see it in the way that it's being used to document where it wasn't documented before. And this is social media, people putting photos up on Instagram, having a much more robust documentation of an event. Do you like where we're at as a society? Everybody's got a camera in their pocket and on their phone and able to do that?
I've always liked color photography. And matter of fact, the first Life had a section called Fast Color, which was a fast-closing news story. They closed down here at Donnelly's in 2 days. And the first one in that series was a picture of a black couple at the second-floor window with a bunch of cops around a fire, which is called a salamander for some reason. And the cops are warming themselves, and this couple is sitting up in the window, and they're hoping not to get killed. or beaten. And to me, that picture is history in the making because many people like them were beaten, and many photographers like me were cursed. Many a camera was broken, and that's really life in Chicago.
You know, it's just, I guess, for me, I feel like there's, everybody's a photographer today. I mean, you know, like I've got my phone right here and I can take a picture of you right now and I can upload it to a social media site and I can say, Art Shea, legend. And I'll get, you know, 100 people to like it. They'll say, this is great. This is Art Shea. Do you like the...
Well, I like the profusion of the profession, and your profession is much more profused than mine, as Trump says. Trump is our president, and what he says should go. And he says, you guys don't know what you're doing. A lot of people are using cameras and microphones. That is absolutely the weather of both our professions.
So microphones just, and cameras, right?
It's just my fate to have been born into this profession, and I love it.
You've been taking photos since you're 14 years old.
Yeah.
So that puts us at, what, 81 years of taking photos.
I don't know if the book is going to have all 81 years, but it'll have certainly 70 years, and it'll have, things like, well, that you don't expect, like Mayor Daley playing the harp, which is a little anticipatory to his life and death, but I thought it was a good picture. Mm-hmm. During the Pan American Games in 1959, he was walking through the area in which they were demonstrating the Mexican harp, and I encouraged him to take a swipe at the harp, and he did. And it's one of my favorite pictures.
Do you feel, you know, as you get the Lifetime Achievement Award, do you feel that you have contributed to society with your photography? And you reflect upon your career as a photographer. What else is left for you to do?
I've had two plays produced and a couple of more in the works. And so I go through my days thinking of things to do, and I've been getting back my, 1,500 negatives a week for the last 3 or 4 weeks from Life magazine.
Wow.
From the late 40s, early 50s.
Wow.
And we found some real prizes, including one that's up at the exhibition, which shows Marlon Brando as a young man, and Brando is playing with his Springer Spaniel dog. And both faces are up. I mean, Brando's with his hook nose and the dog's with his slobbering lips. And the faces are together, and that's...
It's amazing.
That's up for sale.
It's the career you've had is tremendous. Your eye for imagery and for the world around us is unparalleled. Art Shea, great legendary photographer, has a new exhibit at the Gallery Victor Armendariz. It's at 300 West Superior Street. It's called Paparazzi, pop exclamation point, Arazzi. It's opening on Friday, May 5th, and it runs through May 26th. It features works by Patrick Burns, Bruno Cerdo, and, of course, Art Shea. Art, congratulations on a great career, and congratulations on the Lifetime Achievement Award.
Thank you.
It's well-deserved, and thank you for being my guest tonight at the big table.
Thank you.